Hi everyone, and welcome back to Discerning Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Ant, and you join me today for episode number 145, which is the first of a two-parter in which I'm going to talk about the Truman Show, but really using it as a sort of metaphor for the events of COVID-19 and the way in which it served as a kind of like a very powerful force of awakening. So I'm going to talk about what Truman experienced or experiences in the film and how that relates to sort of the events that we experienced during that rather traumatic period in the not too distant past. So that will mean many of the kind of things that you associate or we associate when you are on a path of awakening, sort of the doubt, the fear, the paranoia, the despair, the anger, desire to want to wake people up to our truths, and then also eventually to the idea of accepting the world as it is rather than fighting it, and eventually towards what we're all aiming for, which is a state of transcendence, of course. I'm also just going to be considering in these two episodes overall sort of some of the battles that we all face in life, these sort of existential questions, which were, you know, which Truman had to face in the movie in terms of our own sense of identity, our sense of place, what gives life meaning and purpose to us all, and what does it mean to be a free human being as well. So that's just a little wee bit of a synopsis of what you can expect in this. So at the very beginning, we have in the opening scenes, you might remember, there's sort of a series of dialogues, and they're speaking to some of the main characters, some of the main actors, and this is even before we meet Truman Burbank, of course, in the very first scene, which I'm going to come on to in a moment. And they speak to Marlon, which of course is one of the key characters because it's Truman's best friend, is his mate, his lifelong mate from when he were a wee lad, a wee child. And very tellingly, Marlon reveals, he says, about the Truman Show, and I quote, he says, "Nothing on the show is fake. It's merely controlled." Now, it's worth repeating. Nothing on the show is fake. It's merely controlled. Now, first of all, what this makes me think of in terms of COVID-19 and what we've experienced, what we've seen, and a lot of the bewilderment of it all was, of course, one could look at it or describe it in terms of being a fake pandemic, okay? Which was only made real by the world's, the mainstream media, or the big news outlets, the news channels. So, although it was fake, it was made to seem real to most of the people in the world, much like the viewers of The Truman Show, who undoubtedly thought it was much like real life, although it was just sort of the parody or a parody of a reality TV show. And I think what this also speaks to with regards to COVID, what I think it's really interesting to consider is that, so Marlon, in a way, what he was doing was sort of like by saying it's fake, but then adding, well, it's not actually fake, it's merely controlled. I think this is like a sort of, it's like a rationalization that I found a lot of people who were taken in by COVID, it kind of mirrors these sort of rationalizations that many of them made for the kind of tyranny and the sort of insane overreaction that we saw from many governments around the world. So just as an example, perhaps you might have challenged people who were going along with it all, and you might say, well, is it right to lock down the economy, to close businesses? Is it right for people not to be able to sit at the bedside of their dying relatives? Is it right to lock down youngsters at an important part of their development where they need social contact with their friends. And often the kind of rationale that people would make would be, well, governments have got no choice. We have to do that. So they were sort of, they would try and rationalise their own sort of ignorance, if you like. And I kind of encountered this quite a lot. And even I remember in certain instances speaking to certain people, sorry, and you would say, well, hold on a minute. The survival rate of this COVID-19 virus is nearly, it's 99 point something. So almost 100%, if you like, for healthy people. And they'd come back, you want to kill grandma, don't you? You crazy conspiracy theorists. And in this way, it kind of speaks to the this sort of, as I say, the rationalizations that were made, but none of them had any sanity. There was no sanity to any of these rationalizations. Much like Marlon's friend, I should say Truman's friend Marlon, while he was his rationalization of it being okay, well, it's not fake, it's just controlled. Well, that's one in the same thing. So I think that's what struck me about the first, when we first one of the first scenes in the movie. Now let's just move forward slightly to the very actual first scene. when we see Truman, I should say, for the first time, the falling star. So this is when there's a totally spontaneous event, and one of the cameras on the set on Sea Haven falls down from the sky, and the camera focuses quickly on it, and you can see written on there Sirius 9 Canon Major, in other words the dog star. I call it also the falling star for the purposes of today's conversation. And we see, in terms of this spontaneous event in the film, the Truman Show, much like COVID-19, we didn't see it coming. It appeared to be something that was totally out of context. And I think what's interesting about this particular scene is that it sets the tone for the entire movie, really. And as in COVID-19, sort of this inexplicable happening was kind of like a warning for the future and all of the inexplicable craziness we experienced during the height of COVID. And if we think back to the end of 2019, there were kind of faint warnings, Freudian slip there, coming from the east, from China, and we saw various news clips about this mysterious virus that seemed to be emanating from Wuhan. And at the time, you know, we didn't know that it was we didn't know that it was a planned event. We didn't know what was to come. And like on the Truman Show, you know, it was all COVID-19 was planned. So everything on the movie was planned, like everything we experienced during COVID. But Truman, like many of us in early 2020, was still unaware of the wider context at this early stage of what was to come. Even ourselves, we didn't know what was to come. And but I can remember back in early 2020, I wasn't overly concerned. As I say, we heard murmurings of this new virus sweeping across China. But I'm sure I wasn't alone in thinking, well, it'll probably just fade away, you know, like SARS or Zika, and it probably won't impact the West. So I wasn't overly concerned. But then, you know, from February 2020 into March 2020, it was only when the Western mainstream media began reporting on the first actual deaths, and then suddenly it became real and very scary. And by extension, that was when people began to wake up to the truth. Eventually we began to wake up to the truth of what was happening in terms of the media lies. the fake cases, the fake testing, and the start of lockdowns. So we could say also, furthermore, we could say that many people during this awakening experience that we all went through during COVID, they lost their innocence as they became aware of certain uncomfortable truths about how well governments all collude under the auspices of the World Health Organization and how they then dictate policy to national governments around the world. And this sort of loss of innocence very much was similar to Truman's own loss of innocence, as I will talk about in this recording and part two as well, as the story unfolds on Sea Haven. So moving on now to the third scene, and this is when, for the first time, Truman has to wake up. Sorry, Truman faces, I should say, his one of his traumas, and that's the fear of water. Of course, this relates to in the movie the scene when his dad, or seems to, for the purposes of the movie, of course, appears to drown in a boating accident. So the story goes, Truman has to cross a stretch of water and visit a potential new property. This is related to his job as an estate agent, or appears to be a estate agent. I think the name is slightly different in the US and Canada, so forgive me. So we see Truman, and he's forced, as I say, forced to face his fears, and this is an instance of post-traumatic stress disorder, and you see him all curled up like a little child, and he can't walk along the jetty and get onto what appears to be like a steamboat kind of thing. For me personally, I think this case of trauma kind of equates to the fear of facing many of the own uncomfortable truths in our own lives. And I think this was especially true during COVID, because depending on our personal circumstances, the restrictions, and in whatever guise and severity those restrictions came in, depending on where you live in the world, the lockdowns caused a lot of disruption, and many millions of people were pushed out of their comfort zones, and because people had little choice but to, it affected their jobs, so they had new ways of working. Many office-based people had to work from home, perhaps for the first time. That brings its own stress. Caused a lot of course, lockdowns, a lot of social connections and support networks. And it really did, it did bring to home, if people were living in sort of unfriendly or very toxic home settings or domestic dwellings, the fact that many people were spending a lot more time at home, that did cause a lot of people many problems. So everything was really being shaken up, and people were by extension, I would say, that of course, if you were spending a lot more time with family members, perhaps a partner or a husband or a wife, this really did force people to face the truth, perhaps, of a loveless or a toxic marriage or relationship. So during COVID, it was extremely difficult to hide from ourselves. So just like Truman, there he was standing on the jetty, unable to board the steamboat due to his trauma. Like many of us, at the start of COVID, at least, we could sort of say that it was, if we were thinking in terms of Joseph Campbell and his amazing book, The Hero's Journey, many of us were refusing the call, and which is essentially, The Hero's Journey is literally a map, a metaphorical map for Truman's entire story of the movie. So I think that is is a particularly important scene that I hope many of us perhaps can relate to, in that we really were, there was no escape. Or there was also, just to add to this, I mean, quite a lot of people were forced to travel back to their home of origin because of the restrictions on flying. Of course, it's not uncommon for people to want to escape abusive family situations, so they were compelled to go back home and face perhaps some real difficult situations that would bring up instances of their own historic trauma in their childhood, just like Truman, sorry, experienced with his father in the boating accident. So that's a one sort of key way in which I feel the film acts as a really helpful metaphor in terms of what we experienced during COVID, and what I call the COVID-19 personal awakening, or perhaps I should say personal awakenings. Not quite sure, really. Anyway, let's move on to the next actual scene, the fourth scene. And this is a real key sort of pivot point in the film. And this is when Truman, he's walking through the center of town, and he sees his dad. And of course, he's completely confused and perplexed, because his dad allegedly had died many years ago. And this is sort of like the starting point, or it fires the starting gun, if you will, for when Truman really begins to question his reality on Sea Haven. And quickly, of course, because this constitutes a glitch in the Matrix, and with an ex-actor unscheduled appearance on set, he's quickly his dad, the actor, he's quickly removed in a very sort of stressful or traumatic way. And at least, of course, it looks like that to Truman as well. And so yeah, it's also an example of in terms of personal awakening, how at the beginning, when we do begin to question things, perhaps for the first time, like Truman, it can feel as if we're seeing things that don't exist, and we do start questioning ourselves. And I know I can remember sort of like at the start of COVID-19, people did begin, like myself, to have doubts about the official narrative. And way back in March 2020, now, God, it seems so far back, but it isn't actually. But we did sort of, like Truman, and I know myself, question, because, like, well, you know, the Prime Minister's just appeared on TV and told us not to leave our homes unless it's absolutely necessary. He's also told us that one of your, family members is definitely gonna die. So even me, being a deeply cynical person at the start, at least, I was questioning myself, because I was thinking, am I, is this actually real? Am I right to question this? Like, much like Truman was experiencing in this particular scene. And then, of course, in response to this, we go and we speak to friends and family, and they often try and persuade us that no, there's nothing wrong, don't be silly. In a kind of subsequent scene, we see Truman speaking to his mum, and she tries to quell his fears, and tries to make out that no, of course it couldn't have been Dad, he died a long time ago. And she said words to the effect of, well, I often think I see him. And so this, when we kind of seek the counsel of friends and family, it kind of can be a bit of a double-edged sword in a way, because although it's nice to speak to people about our fears, we can become sort of paranoid, because quite often they don't want to, they're sort of scared of waking up themselves, so they're not gonna back up the kind of like what we're saying. So they will think that, we are just seeing things. And I think this also leads to, for many of us, a sense of isolation, much like what Truman was experiencing. We felt like that. I know I did. during COVID-19 for a lot of the time. And I think the most important point I'm trying to make with reference to this particular scene is that, as we know, in the context of the movie and the drama, Truman couldn't be told the truth about his dad because it would reveal the truth of his entire life on Sea Haven. It would of course the drama would come to an end, and it would be the end of the show, and the advertisers and the production company and the movie house and etc. wouldn't be very happy. But we can also think in the same way, or thinking in the same way, it's almost as if the general population, they can and they never will be told about COVID-19, or the truth about COVID-19, and all the distortions and all the lies and all the gaslighting and all the fears. At least they will never hear it from official news sources or from official sources, official information sources, sorry, because this would reveal, in a kind of more philosophical way, this would reveal the truth about their own lives and all the other falsehoods they've believed to be true. So that's why, again, back to why people will tend to lie to themselves, because if they were faced with the truth of what happened during COVID-19, then it would set them, you know, on a journey of perhaps looking at other major historical events and finding out, oh my word, I've been lied to all this time. So, you know, like Truman, if he had been told the truth about his dad, he would have come to an understanding that his whole life was just not even real, was just a work of fiction. So I think there's a nice sort of nice correlation there between the two. So I'm just going to move forward now a little bit and pick up some analysis on the seventh scene. And if you have seen the film, this is a nice little bit when we go back in, sort of like a memoirs, we go back, and this is a sort of series of scenes when Truman is at college, so he's a young man, and this is when he meets his first love, his real love, not his wife, if you like, not when he sort of goes off script, and he meets Lauren, the lovely Lauren. And I think what this equates to in terms of COVID-19 was, I know certainly at the beginning, there was this real impulse, because we felt, those of us who could see what was going on, because we felt so alienated, and like I was just saying, because we felt so isolated, much like Truman when he began to experience the truth of his life on Sea Haven, there was that real impulse to find the others, or at the time it was called to find our tribe, or just finding the others who like us, you know, the others like us who could see what was happening. You know, there's a lot of comfort in that, because it did, and it still feels very lonely, surrounded by people who were falling into line and following the narrative. And, you know, I certainly, many of which I spoke to on Discerning Consciousness podcast. So I hope you did enjoy those series of interviews I did with a whole series of amazing people on my podcast. I did take a lot of comfort from speaking to people who are also awake to what was happening, and just that relief, or that, oh, I don't need to explain myself. I know I'm speaking to someone who has a kind of sense and understanding what is happening, because, you know, they've been on this journey of awakening and selfhood for some time, and they've got some sort of they've put in some of the work in terms of accumulating information and all the rest of it. I know it's much bigger than that. So of course Truman had this connection with Lauren, but she wasn't meant to be part of his life. She wasn't part of the script. So it was obviously a difficult situation for the producers to handle. So, as I say, in this series of scenes, when they go back and he meets Lauren for the first time, they have to find out a way to remove her from the movie, from the drama, because obviously she's a rogue element, like his dad coming back. It's not part of the scene. And then we go to that sort of very iconic moment when they're all kind of embrace, kissing, romance on the beach. And she explains to Truman for the first time, you know, that he's living in a fiction. His life isn't what he thinks it is. He isn't an independent, sovereign human being. So in this moment, of course, she kind of goes rogue, and she's removed from the show, and the script is changed, and we see her dad arrive in a vehicle, in a car, and it's claimed that she's mentally unstable. She's you know, she always brings her boyfriends here, and of course, you know, Truman is completely confused, because she was just also saying, look, you know, this is all for you, Truman. She holds up the sand, trying to say, you know, it's all fake, this is all for you. And then she says, as she's carted off by our father in the film, she says, come and find me, Truman. So I think what I find interesting about this particular scene and how it sort of mirrors or acts as a metaphor for COVID-19 and perhaps going way back through history, we always know that the truth tellers have been derided, have been ridiculed, have been scorned. So like Lauren, who was revealing the truth to Truman, you know, in the past, they were often, the truth tellers were decried as being dangerous, crazy, and illogical. And they're people, you know, you don't want to talk to. And it's all, of course, in a kind of very simplistic analysis, in terms of COVID, brings to mind all of the censorship that went on, and all of which was suffered by truth tellers who were deleted, like Lauren, removed, as I was just saying, because people can't be told the truth. And also, of course, one of the main reasons for the lockdowns, I do believe, was to stop us connecting with like-minded people, actually in the flesh. And luckily we had the internet, which I think proved invaluable. And during COVID, of course, it enabled us to keep these, you know, these really invaluable contacts. And, you know, in the same way that the producers of The Truman Show were trying to keep Lauren and Truman apart, because obviously that would destroy the whole premise for the movie, as I was saying before, the authorities were attempting to keep us away from other like-minded people in order to spread the truth. I think the important thing also in terms of this scene is that it obviously planted a seed in the mind of Truman. Although he was confused at this stage, he didn't understand the broader context of what was happening to him. It definitely did plant the seed, and it was like a precursor to the other events that were to come. So moving now logically to the next scene, the ape scene in the movie. This is when there's a whole sort of series of events which I would sort of say sort of speaks to this increasing fear and paranoia that Truman was experiencing. So this is also when Truman begins to see behind the curtain quite literally. He really does begin to think as if there's a sense in which life centres around him on Sea Haven, and there's this attempt to monitor him all the time. And so whilst driving to the centre of town, we hear on the radio, all of a sudden the frequency changes, and there's literally a commentary from the producers, and they're saying he's driving down such and such avenue, quick, look at him, he's turning left, and he looks at the road sign and he actually realizes that they're talking about him. So then he parks up, he walks out into the traffic, and in his sort of messianic way he holds his hand up and stops a bus with his hand, and he holds up the traffic. Now I think in this moment, how it speaks to me, I should say, in terms of what we experienced during COVID was, so in this moment, Truman was coming to an understanding of sort of like his own reality, in terms of just how fake everything was on the island of Sea Haven. And in terms of holding off up the traffic, as I say, in this sort of almost messianic way, holding up his hand, I think, aside from, I'm going to talk a little bit in a while more about this sort of aspect of everything being fake during COVID, but I think what Truman realised in this scene was his own power, because just by holding up his hand, he could stop the bus. He stopped the bus driver and he stopped all the other traffic behind him, of course. And I think for myself personally, during COVID-19, I realised for the first time how much power we do actually have as human beings. And I think the power that we had during COVID by simply saying, no, I'm not complying with this tyranny. So much like Truman, I think we gained a great sense of power and empowerment by just saying, no, we're not taking this crap. We're not doing this. And I think it's a very, very iconic moment, which also sort of speaks to the construct on Sea Haven, and not only that, the construct within our own lives, which was mirrored to us during COVID-19, especially in terms of illegitimate authority figures and the restrictions they were placing on our life. Anyway, back to the scene, and then we see after Truman is holding up the traffic, he then walks into his office, and bizarrely, the lift shaft opens and he sees that there's no backing to the lift. It's just totally fake. And there's just actors hanging around, just, you know, eating, having some food in between scenes. And obviously this is really shocking to Truman, because it's like, my God, what's going on here? The lift isn't even real. And this sort of reminds me of, for the first time during COVID, when we began to realise or recognise the true scale of the deception. Because, as I was saying, in the earlier scenes and relating to COVID, back in March 2020, we didn't know what was going to unfold. But it was really, it was shocking. And like Truman, his response was, well, this doesn't make any, you know, there's no sense to this. How can the lift shaft not be there? And in the same way, to many of us, we thought the COVID-19, the rules, the protocols, the dystopian government sort of restrictions on our basic freedoms, none of it made sense. And that did kind of engender a sense of paranoia, because like Truman was increasingly feeling, who could we trust? Who could we trust? Could we trust those that had fallen for the deception? That was one of the sort of the main problems, really. And obviously, we came to the shocking realization that perhaps we can't. Perhaps we can't trust these people who we always had, because they'd fallen for such a great deception. And as with Truman, and as I say, this rising, increasing sense of paranoia, he was beginning to think, is everyone in on it? Am I going mad? Because like many of us, we were unable increasingly to relate to anyone or a lot of the people around us who were just carrying on as if everything is normal. Like it's normal to lock down society, lock down people who are perfectly healthy. It's as if it's normal to stop people visiting their elderly relatives in care homes and nursing homes, and you know, as if it's normal for people's social lives to be completely shut down. Anyway, so back to the movie. Let's move on now to the 10th scene. And this is when Truman is, you know, his head is spinning. He's had all these series of events. He's seen his dad. He's gone to work. You know, there's no lift shaft. It's fake. He's holding up the traffic. So he's completely spinning, absolutely spinning. His head is all over the show. And, excuse me, he seeks the counsel, the comfort of the idea of escape. He thinks, well, if I can't make sense of my world in Sea Haven and I can no longer relate to the people around me, I'm sure we could think of how we felt like that. He goes to the travel agent in town, and as we know, one of the themes is he always wants to escape to the island of Fiji. Now, of course, on the walls, another one of the key themes in order to keep him on the island, we've got this idea of the fear of flying, you know, don't fly. And I think there's a picture of a plane on the wall with a bolt of lightning behind it. And there was many different ways, obviously, to keep him on the island of Sea Haven. And they had to quell his natural lust or thirst for adventure. And I think this, I can think back, and I think this does mirror the constant fear mongering in the film in order to, as I say, quell his sense of adventure. This to me speaks to the fear mongering that we, during the entirety of COVID, this sort of 24/7 mind control and this constant sort of messaging meant to spread fear. And of course with links to flying and air flight, initially we had restrictions on flying, and although in the UK I can recall there were still news reports of flights still arriving from China, the alleged epicenter of the coronavirus. But then it kind of flipped once the jab was rolled out, the fake COVID vax from early part of 2020. The fear for many people who were buying into the scamdemic, the fear was of not being able to fly if they didn't take the fake vax. So like Truman, initially all of us were stopped from escaping our country of origin. But it was then, but after that it was only the so-called anti-vaxxers, the so-called conspiracy theorists who were stopped from flying. So much like Truman, we appeared to be victims of forces beyond our control, who were intent on making our lives a living hell, to be honest. And I just want to add, I have no doubt, and I remember at the time thinking this, how disturbing this was, that many people, I think, took the fake COVID vax only because it enabled them to fly. And I recall from the time thinking, wow, how easy people are coerced into doing things that they wouldn't normally choose to do. But that just shows you, you know, that freedom does come at a price. And sometimes if we want to stick to our principles, it means that we might have to go without some of the comforts that we've always taken for granted, like the opportunity to fly within our own countries. If you live on a large landmass, like, say, Australia or Canada or America or abroad if you live on a smaller landmass like I do here in the UK. Anyway, moving on now to the next scene, the 11th scene in the movie. This is when Truman really is in a state of deep distress, a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. So this is when he's sitting in the car with his wife and he's really sensing that, you know, he's onto something. He's beginning to spot the signs, the patterns, and perhaps like many of us during COVID, we could decode the media lies and the propaganda, and we were able to interpret the real meaning of such alliterations as Build Back Better and other kind of World Economic Forum statements such as the new reality. So we were able to see beyond all the smokescreen, beyond the lies, beyond all the gaslighting as well. And of course in the movie Truman spots the pattern or the series or the synchronicities or the flow of events when he says Lady Flowers Dented Beetle. So there's a series of events, and as he says to his wife, they go round and round and round just on the loop. So that was how he was beginning. As we do when we begin to wake up, we realise how much of life beyond the movie screen is actually just a series, of orchestrated events, and we can hack that reality like Truman did. More about that later in part two. So moving on now, he sat with his wife. She's obviously deeply distressed, mirroring Truman's distress. They've now left home and he's driving erratically. He's increasingly angry because he can't relate to anyone. He's in a state of disbelief. His nearest and dearest don't understand him. They think he's going crazy. They think he's insane. And he's perhaps the thing that he finds most troubling is, why can't other people see what he can see? And I think that really epitomizes COVID for me, and especially at the beginning, was why can't other people see that we're living in a dystopian tyranny, and why are people just going along with it? So I very much can relate to the frustration and anger and disbelief that Truman was feeling at this particular juncture in the movie. And as a natural response to that, there was from those who could see what's happening, a strong desire to push back against the insanity, to sort of be reckless in some ways, to break the rules. And I think at one point Truman actually says very pertinently, I'm not following their rules anymore whilst driving. So it's almost, I think this sort of is much like during COVID, where I know I got so angry, there was that sense in which I just wanted to shake people, to provoke a reaction, just to wake up the sleeping masses. And I know perhaps some people might equate it to a sort of like a childlike rebelliousness, but I know within myself there was this sort of impulse that was arising within myself to break free, like Truman, because that's what he was trying to do, was to break free from all his restrictions, in this case in the car driving. And I have mentioned this before, in terms of my act of childish petulance or rebelliousness. At the beginning of lockdowns in March 2020, here in the UK, in the supermarkets, in the grocery stores, they literally, so you entered the store and they'd have a series of stickers in the shape of arrows on the floor, and you'd have a one-way system. So like sheep, literally in a pen, you know, they go in one way and come out the other. So you could only, and you couldn't walk back on yourself. And I just wasn't having any of it. So in order to deliberately provoke a reaction, I started walking backwards with my shopping cart, my shopping trolley, and people started shouting at me. And then a manager came over to me and he actually said, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't do that. You have to walk in line with everyone else." So just in that moment of, you know, it literally felt, I was like, I was attempting to hack the matrix, if you like. And it was so interesting when everyone was glaring at me and some people even shouted, because it was almost like the sheep keeping the other sheep in line. And it was partly disturbing and also partly funny, because it was literally like a scene from a Monty Python movie. So anyway, back to the movie, and we see them driving. Eventually they get to a bridge, and Truman and his wife, they're sat in the car, and they need to drive across the bridge, of course, to escape Sea Haven. So he grabs his wife's hand and they accelerate over the bridge, and then suddenly as they drive across the bridge, there's a big burst of fire, and they drive straight through the fire. And I think how this sort of illustrates what we went through during COVID is just an example of the desperate measures that were taken, like to keep Truman on the island. As I've already talked about, you had the fear of flying and the fear of the sea, and also there's always this idea of there's no place like home. I believe at one point there's a movie review, and then latterly, of course, once they've gone over the bridge, they hit this sort of roadblock, and there's a fake emergency at the nuclear power plant when Truman is eventually captured by the authorities. And I think during COVID, we saw a sort of increasing absurdity of the rules and the gaslighting and sort of contradictions as well. And in the UK, eventually the fake vax was made compulsory for care staff, and there were many sort of ramping up of draconian measures to coerce the population into complying, as I was saying. And in the early part of 2022, I believe Austria was proposing fines for those who refused the fake COVID vax. And also remember scenes, I believe it was from Australia, and it was like a housing block, an apartment block with vulnerable adults, and there was the police or some form of officials in the foyer at the bottom, and they were preventing these vulnerable adults from leaving their properties to buy food. And so we probably got our own first-hand experiences of what we experienced in terms of how the authorities, they literally became more and more desperate, more and more insane in terms of controlling us, in terms of controlling our basic movements, much like Truman. The directors and the producers of the show had to come up with more and more insane kind of invasive ways to stop him escaping the island. But eventually, this, as we know, it all backfired, and it helped to wake people up even more quickly to the reality of the pandemic. And like Truman, the more they attempted to restrict his freedoms, the more he was able to wake up to the reality of his life on Sea Haven. So I'm just reaching, coming towards the end here now of part one of my two-part series, in which I'm talking about The Truman Show and the story of Truman in terms of how we can see it as a metaphor for what we experienced during COVID-19 and our own sort of personal awakenings and the sort of experiences that we went through. So join me soon, within the next week, and I will be making available part two, and we will be taking the story forward, and I hope you can join me for that. So I'll speak to you all again very soon. Bye for now.